First of all, greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On behalf of the brethren of Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, I would like to convey their greetings and their best regards to all of you here this morning. And my wife and I would like to thank you very much for praying for us during the 3 months when we served with the brethren in Sydney. And we thank God that He has brought us back safely to Singapore. Now, since the inauguration of the church in Sydney, we have been meeting in the home of our sister Tan Yok Hoon, who emigrated with her two daughters to Sydney some 1¾ years ago. And her home is located in this suburb known as Pymble, which is about half an hour's drive from the city of Sydney. And we thank God that weekly we have an average of about 30 to 35 worshippers at the church. I want to report that the folks in Sydney are very, very happy that at long last a Bible Presbyterian church has been raised up in Sydney. And they are very, very happy that at long last they can have a church which they can call their home church. Now, since the inaugural service in June up till now, almost without fail, every Sunday we have got visitors coming from Singapore to worship with us. Now, should you ever go to Sydney for business or for holiday, please feel very, very welcome to our church at Pymble. The folks there will be very, very welcome, very happy to welcome you there. Now, do pray for us. We will be leaving for Sydney again in about 2 weeks. And I'll continue to pray for the brethren there, that they may grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they will also continue to pray for you. Now, this morning, the topic is, God hears the Christian. God hears the Christian. And my focus this morning is on 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and I'd like to read this verse to you once again. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, does God hear the Christian? Does God hear the Christian? Now, the story is told of a pub, a drinking pub that was being built in a certain town. The Christians of a certain church in this town, of course, were very unhappy that this church was built there. And so they prayed and prayed for God to intervene. One night, lightning struck, and the pub was destroyed. The pub owner was very, very unhappy with the Christians for praying to God to intervene. And so he hired a lawyer to sue the church. He claimed that the church was responsible for the destruction of his pub. The Christians, of course, had to defend themselves. And so they also hired a lawyer to disclaim any responsibility for the destruction of the pub. So the case was brought before a judge for hearing. And at the end of the hearing, before the verdict was given, the judge made this comment. He said, whichever way the verdict turns out to be, one thing is clear. The pub owner believes that God hears prayers while the Christians don't. Now, does God hear the prayers of the Christian? Of course He does. But do we Christians really believe that God answers prayers? I'm afraid many times we say we do, but in actual fact, we don't. For if we do believe that He does answer prayer, then would we not be more diligent in our prayers unto the Lord? And would we not be more diligent in coming to the church midweek prayer meeting? If we have this confidence that He hears and He answers prayers, I dare say that our church prayer meeting will have full attendance. No pleading is needed, to encourage members of the church to come to the prayer meeting. Now, does God hear the Christian? He does, despite the weakness of his faith. Yes, he hears the Christian, and only the Christian, because only the Christian is a child of God. Only he has the privilege to call God Abba, Father. And only he has Christ in him. And God, the Heavenly Father, has clearly declared that he who spared not his only begotten Son will surely, with him, freely give all things to his children. In contrast, God will not hear the Christian, the non-Christian. The non-Christian is not a child of God. He is an enemy of God. In truth, the Lord Jesus Christ says that non-believers are children of the devil. Now, does God ever hear the prayer of the non-Christian? No, except one prayer. And that prayer is the most important prayer that any single soul can ever utter. It is the prayer of the sinner's prayer of repentance. If a sinner sincerely comes before the Lord and repents from his sins and prays for the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into his heart, God will surely hear that prayer. In fact, he rejoices to hear that prayer. For our Lord Jesus Christ has said in Luke chapter 15 verse 7, I say unto you that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Now, does God hear the Christian? As we have said, he does. But the Christian must really be a Christian. He must not be a Christian in name only. He must not be a pseudo. He must not be a phony. He must be one who is genuinely born again. And chapter 5 of 1 John verse 18 says something about the characteristic of a genuinely born again Christian. The verse that we commit to memory earlier on. We know whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Not that a Christian does not sin anymore, but rather, the genuine Christian is one who does not practice sinning. The genuine Christian has repented from his sin, and his holy desire, or one desire, is to want to please God. Now and then, he may lapse into sin, but he will confess his sin and he will come back to God. Today, the term born again, unfortunately, is very, very much abused. For example, in the entertainment world in the West, there are entertainers who claim to be born again simply because it is fashionable to do so. But they continue to live in their sin, and they continue to live in their entertainment world lifestyle. There is no repentance. Friends, those kinds of claims have no basis at all. The claimants, if they do not repent from their sins, are as condemned as ever. And some years ago, I read of casino operators in Las Vegas who claimed that they were born again because they went through some kind of a spiritual experience. And they said that because of their spiritual experience, their casino operation, the gambling business, got better. This claim is completely fallacious because the word of God is clear. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And if such claimants to being born again are sincere in their claims, they must be most deluded by the tricks of the devil that come forth from the pit. The word of God is clear, and all of us know that very, very familiar verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, which says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Yes, lifestyles, values, aspirations, ambitions, they must all be centered on glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas we were living in sin, we are now dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Then there are those who think that they are Christians because they had the experience of going to a meeting where they spoke in tongues, slain by the Holy Spirit, or they participated in some kind of a laughing revival. They laugh, they crow like cocks, meow like cats, bark like dogs, and they think that they are Christians. They are mistaken. Then there are those who think that they have the gift of prophecy, of casting out demons, and they think that they have the gift of performing works of signs and wonders, and therefore they think they are Christians. Now let us turn to the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say about them. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about them in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. The Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I prophesy unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Those who profess to perform signs and wonders, let them be warned. They might be the very ones that the Lord Jesus Christ would say these words to. "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Remember, Judas walked with the Lord for some 3.5 years. He performed signs and wonders, and he cast out demons just like the other disciples did. Yet he was the very one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was condemned for all eternity. Friends, only those who do the will of God are genuine Christians. Only those who have the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts are genuine Christians. And they manifest that Christ is dwelling in their hearts by their fruits of righteousness and by their fruits of repentance. This only would God hear, for God truly is their God and God truly is their Lord. Now, what are the prerequisites for God to answer the prayers of the Christian? Verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." The prerequisite for God to hear us is that we are to ask according to his will. And this morning for my message, God Hears the Christian, I would like to focus on asking. I would like to focus on asking according to his will. Because it is only by asking according to his will that he hears us. Now, what is meant by asking according to his will? Now, for a good understanding of this subject, the will of God, I would like to recommend to you this book, The Sevenfold Will of God, written by Reverend Timothy Toh. It is a very, very clear and excellent treatment of this subject, the will of God. Visit our bookshop after the worship service and purchase for yourself this wonderful book, The Sevenfold Will of God, and you will have a good understanding of what is meant by the will of God. Now let us come back to asking according to his will. Now there are teachings that are very, very popular today that are going around in many church circles, which are really quite spurious. One teaching says that if you want God to hear you, you must have faith to be very, very specific in what you are asking for. In fact, you have to be so specific to the point of visualizing what you are asking for. And this teaching was originated by Pastor Cho Yong-yi of Korea. And this teaching has caught on in many, many charismatic churches today. The teaching, for example, says that if you want an office, you must visualize in your office, in your mind, what kind of office you want. The size of your office, the color of your office, the type of desk you want, and whether you want to have a leather a seat, or what kind of office equipment you want, and so forth. Friends, such teaching is, of course, fallacious. It tantamounts to meditating what you want into existence. Such teaching on prayer sounds very much like the New Age teaching. It is completely erroneous. It amounts to dictating to God what you want. But the biblical teaching has always been, Lord, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, another erroneous teaching that goes around in many church circles is that God hears and he shows us that he hears through special revelations, through prophecies, through dreams, and through visions. Friends, let us be very clear that what God wants us to know, he has very, very clearly given it to us in his word. All special revelations have ceased with the completion of the word of God. Does he show us that he hears by giving us dreams? Of course not. The Chinese saying goes like this. It says, what you think of during the day, you will dream of at night. And isn't it true that many times what we think of during the day influences what we dream of at night? And isn't it true also that what we eat in the evening might also influence what we dream of at night? And does he show us that he hears us by an audible voice? Again, what we need to know about God's revealed will is clearly shown to us in his word. The audible voice we hear might be nothing more than a hallucination. It could also be a delusion sent from the devil. Friends, let us all understand that all special revelations have ceased. Now then, what is meant by asking according to his will? Now, asking according to his will, first of all, means asking according to his preceptive will. God's precepts are clearly spelled out in his word. What are right, what are wrong are clearly spelled out. In the Old Testament, God has given us his 10 commandments for us to direct us and to guide us. And in the New Testament, he has given us his laws of love to guide us and to direct us. The Lord Jesus Christ says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, all scripture is given to lead us, to instruct us, to guide us, so that the man of God may be perfect, may be matured in the faith. And so his word says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16. All the good things and all the bad things that are recorded in the scripture are recorded for our examples, either to follow or to avoid. Take, for example, the bad thing of polygamy. Some people may argue that polygamy is condoned by God because heroes of the faith, such as Jacob and David, were polygamous. The truth of the matter is that David's family almost disintegrated before his eyes because of the many wives that he had, because of the envies and the jealousies that existed among his wives and his large family. And because of that, his family nearly disintegrated. And Jacob's family also had lots of domestic disputes because of the four wives that he had. Now, these were recorded not to encourage us to be polygamists for sure, but to prevent us from making similar mistake. So when we walk in accordance to his perceptive will he hear us? Will he? Yes, often he hears us and even cooperates with us and blesses us by applying what is known as his cooperative will. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5 say, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Yes, when we delight in his goodness, when we delight in his loving kindness, when we delight to obey him, he will give us the desires of our heart. Think of it. Our desires become God's desires. His will becomes our will, and our will becomes his will. What a wonderful situation for a Christian to be in. His will becoming God's will, and God's will becoming his will. And one classic example on how God hears his children and cooperates with them is demonstrated in the mission of Abraham's servant in seeking a bride for his master's son, Isaac. Remember, Abraham was minded that his son Isaac should not marry a Canaanite, that he should not marry a heathen, and he wanted to seek a bride for him from among his relatives in his home country, in the land of Mesopotamia. And he assigned the task of seeking a bride for his son to his eldest servant, presumably Eliezer. Abraham then made this servant take an oath that he would do his utmost to find such a bride for his son. And if the young lady refused to follow the servant to the promised land, this eldest servant was not to bring Isaac from the promised land to the land of Mesopotamia, from out of which God had called Abraham. And only if the young lady refused to follow the servant to the promised land would this servant be freed from the oath. So this servant took the oath and then took along with him 10 camels and went out in search for a bride for Isaac in the land of Mesopotamia. He then came to the city of Haran, or the city of Nahor, the city where Abraham's relatives lived. Now, do you think Abraham had given to his eldest servant an easy job to do? By no means. Now, how was he going to choose a bride from the many hundreds of girls from that city? So, not an easy job. What did the servant do? He prayed. With men, it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Now, I'd like to read you the account recorded for us in Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 to 14. All right, you may like to turn to those verses, Genesis 24, 10 to 14. All right, the elder servant had arrived at that city, the city of Nahor, or the city of Haran, and there he prayed. All right, verse 10, chapter 24, verse 10. "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand.
And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his servants to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou showed mercy, kindness unto my master, to provide water. Now you see, to provide water for one single human being does not require much effort. No big deal at all. But to water 10 camels, which we know are water guzzlers, particularly after the long journey in that Mid-Eastern region, would be a great, great task. Now, which girl coming out from that city would do just that? Now, did the Lord answer the prayer of this eldest servant of Abraham? He did. Along came Rebekah, who offered to do just that. She not only gave water to Abraham's elder servant, but he also gave water to his 10 camels. Now the question is, why did God answer his prayer? The reason is that, the reason is that he was acting in complete obedience to Abraham's instruction. And Abraham's instruction was, of course, in turn, in complete obedience to God's laws. In other words, this eldest servant was acting in complete obedience to God's preceptive will. And he says this in his own words in the Genesis 24, verse 27. A very, very interesting verse. Let's look at that verse. All right. Genesis 24, 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of God's mercy and God's truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Yes, he, being in the way of the Lord heard him. The Lord applied his cooperative will to this eldest servant of Abraham. Now, we want the Lord to hear us, don't we? But the question is, are we walking in the way of the Lord? Are we walking in accordance to his preceptive will? Now, what do we want most of all from the Lord? Now, I dare say that most of us would want success and prosperity from the Lord, don't we? But we need to understand from God's word that it is not necessarily material success and prosperity that are talked about in the word of God. Primarily, they are spiritual success and spiritual prosperity. Although the Lord might choose to also bless us with material prosperity and success, but we must walk in accordance to his preceptive will if we want him to hear us and to bless us with these gifts, the gifts of success and prosperity. The word of God in Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It is clear, if we want him to hear us and to bless us, we must walk in accordance to his preceptive will. Now, does God hear the Christian if he chooses to go his own way and he does not want to be in the way of the Lord? In other words, he chooses not to walk in the precept of the Lord, but is insistent in going his own way. To answer that question, we have the classic example of Balaam in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, after their almost 40 years of wandering, were about to enter into the promised land. They had to pass through the land of Moab. Balak, the king of Moab, was terrified by the Israelites, and so he tried to engage the service of the false prophet Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He sent emissaries to Balaam with gifts to entice him to provide that service, the service of cursing the children of Israel. So what did Balaam do in response to Balak's request? He went and sought the counsel of the Lord to see if the Lord would say yes to him, to allow him to go and curse the children of Israel. The Lord's answer was clear. The Lord said no. The reason was simple, because the children of Israel are God's own people, God's people. And so Balaam then sent those emissaries away. But Balak didn't give up. He sent another batch of emissaries. And this second batch of emissaries were more honorable than the first batch of emissaries. And presumably they brought along with them better gifts and larger gifts. Balaam succumbed to greed, and he went in to seek the Lord the second time. And what did the Lord say to him this time? The Lord said to him, yes. But friends, it was not a case of the Lord saying, yes, I will bless you. But rather, it was the case of the Lord saying to him, yes, you've had it. You may go, but you are not going to be blessed. You are going to be punished instead. Friends, let us not pursue in prayer for things that are clearly outside the will of the Lord, outside of his preceptive will. For if we do, he might just say yes to us, and we would be in danger of falling into what is known as God's punitive will. Now I'd like to say a word to young people in this church in a matter of choosing a life partner. It is clear the word of God says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But often, we come across Christians attempting to pair up with non-Christians. They know it is outside the will of the preceptive will of the Lord to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Yet, they will come before the Lord to pray this prayer. Lord, is it your will that I should marry this non-Christian girl? Dear friends, there is no place for such a prayer, let us understand. But if the Christian chooses to pray this prayer, the Lord's answer is obviously no. Now, we are taught to be persistent in prayer, but we are to be persistent in prayer for the right thing in accordance to his will. If the Christian chooses to be persistent and insistent in praying for a non-Christian partner, the Lord may just say yes to such a prayer request. But dear friends, it is not a case of yes to a life of abundant blessing, but it is a case of yes, serve you right. If you chose to be punished, you'll be punished. If you chose to be chastised, you will be chastised. Indeed, we have seen many cases of unequal yoke marriages and how much the Christian partner has to suffer for entering into such an unholy union. Rare are such marriages that work out. If they do, it is because the Lord is exceedingly merciful to them. Now, to ask according to his will also means asking with the understanding that the Lord may apply his permissive will to us. You will recall the case of the great Apostle Paul, who was afflicted with a thorn in the flesh. You know, Paul was a man of the most hardy kind. He could take any kind of suffering, any kind of hardship. But for him to pray for the Lord to take away this thorn in the flesh in him, it means that the thorn in the flesh must have been afflicting him very, very badly. And so he prayed unto the Lord. Did the Lord answer his prayer? In fact, he prayed three times. Did the Lord answer his prayer? Of course he did. But what was his answer to the great apostle Paul? The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord permitted the great apostle Paul to continue to be afflicted with the thorn in the flesh, and he did it for a very, very good purpose. You see, Paul was given special privileges. He received abundant revelations from the Lord, and he even had the privilege of entering into the third heaven, the heaven where God is. And he heard unspeakable words in heaven. So the Lord allowed him to be afflicted, so that Paul would not be lifted up with pride. And he also allowed Paul to be afflicted so that Paul could experience the power of God in his infirmities. And so Paul could say, "When I am weak, then am I strong." Friends, let us understand that the ears of the Lord are inclined to us. When we are walking in accordance to his preceptive will, he might still say no to our prayer request. And he might allow certain things to happen to us, which might not appear to be in our immediate favor. But let us remember, he is applying his permissive will to us for our good, just as he did for the great apostle Paul. Now remember also how the Lord applied his permissive will to Job and to Joseph, all of whom came through the test with flying colors. They were abundantly blessed of the Lord after their trials. And they could see at the end of the day that God was working all things out for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now to ask according to his will also means asking in his name. Now it is needful that we ask in his name. For our Lord says in John chapter 14 verses 13 and 14, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Never we think that we have any merit on our own to come before the Lord. For what is our name? All of us here have a common name, and the name for us is sinners. Yes, we are but sinners before the holy and righteous God. But we thank God for Jesus Christ, the righteous. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he has clothed us with his righteousness so that we can all come boldly before his wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is on his merit, on the merit of his precious blood, and on the merit of his righteousness that we can come before him. Yes, to ask according to his will is to ask the Lord based on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now to ask in his name also means to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ to intercede for us. Unless he intercedes for us, our prayers are but empty words. It is only with his intercession that our prayers can reach the most wonderful throne of God. And we thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, is praying for us unceasingly. And he is more sympathetic to us than the most tender, loving mother is to her child. No matter what kind of sufferings and trials we can think of, one thing is sure. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been there before. He went even to the extent of tasting death for every man. Indeed, he is not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because he intercedes for us, our prayers avail much and prevail with God. Is it any wonder that our prayers should be made in His name? No wonder at all. We need to depend on Christ's merit. We need to depend on His intercession. For this is God's will for our prayers to be heard. So, does God hear the Christian? He does. His ears are inclined to the Christian who is genuinely a Christian. But the Christian must pray in accordance to God's will. If he wants God to hear him, he must pray in accordance to God's preceptive will. When he delights to do God's preceptive will, God's will become his will, and his will become God's will. Remember the psalmist said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, and he shall bring it to pass." When the Christian lives in obedience to God's precepts, God will graciously apply his cooperative will to him. Remember Abraham's eldest servant who testified, "I, being in the way, the Lord heard me." Let us be watchful that we do not insist in going our own way when we pray. If we choose to do wrong, the Lord might just say to us, "Serve you right. Go ahead and do wrong to your own detriment." And now when we pray in accordance to his will, let us remember he may apply his permissive will to us. If he says no to us, let us gladly accept that his purpose is to work out all things for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And finally, he will hear us if we pray in Jesus' name, if we pray based on his merit, if we pray based on the intercession of our great high priest. Friends, if you are not a believer, you cannot pray in Jesus' name. God will not hear you. There is none in heaven to pray for you. Why don't you come to trust Jesus this morning? Repent of your sins, and like all of us here who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you can also say, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of life. We thank you for truth that you have taught us out of your word of life. This morning, O Lord, we pray that you will teach us that we may know how to pray in accordance to your will. For it is only by praying in accordance to your will that you will hear us. We pray for those who are still outside you, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Speak to their hearts. Cause them, O Lord God, to come to believe in Jesus today. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.